You're listening to Scratch Take, a podcast where songwriters tell the story behind their craft. I'm Jeremy Kassenstein. Lawrence is a soul pop band fronted by siblings Clyde and Gracie Lawrence. The group released their debut album Breakfast this past March and are set to play at Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival on June 11th. In this episode, Clyde and Gracie talk about their love of Motown, making music that puts smiles on people's faces, and the importance of trusting your writing partner.
I'm Clyde Lawrence.
I'm Gracie Lawrence.
And we are brother and sister, co-front people and songwriters in the band, shockingly called Lawrence. I've been writing songs since I was really, really young. I've been writing songs since I was 3 or 4 years old. Frankly, some of the stuff I wrote when I was 3 or 4 years old was, like, probably better than some of the stuff I'm writing now.
I started writing music around maybe 11 or 12. Just I wasn't really fluent in any instrument, but I kind of was just messing around and was trying to make up melodies and wanted to be able to accompany myself singing. So I tried to kind of like fuss around on different instruments and ended up writing some songs. But only recently did I become much better at piano and a much better songwriter, in my own opinion.
It's more recently that we've started, like, sharing the responsibility of writing the music for the band. It used to be mostly me writing for the band, and the band used to just be under my name. And, like, more recently, as Gracie's become more involved and her songwriting's becoming really great, we've started to sort of, in the last couple of years, begin sharing all of the songwriting duties.
I think that the first song that I brought to the band and, like, asked Clyde for help with was Me and You. That was the first song that we ever played live that I wrote a substantial, if not, yeah, like basically I wrote the song and then I asked Clyde for a lot of help and he graciously gave it to me.
Gracie had written a lot of really good songs. That was the first song that she kind of showed me that she was working on that I was like, damn, this is great. This really sounds like something that could be a great song for our band. And so I kind of helped her tweak the arrangement and some of the stuff relating to the feel, but she wrote that song in total. And then, you know, we started playing that with the band. But, yeah, I mean, I think overall our songwriting process is, like, we're not going to sit down necessarily together and write something from scratch, but it's, like, one of us has a nugget of an idea, and then the other person starts to kind of, like, inspire some more ideas in that, and it's more like that.
And when we're not together, we just go back and forth sending each other, like, pretty bad audio files of demos that we're working on, and then, like, giving each other notes about it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, actually. When I was in college, I would get, before Gracie was as confident on piano as she is now, I would get these, like, incredibly impressive, like, five-part harmony demos of Gracie doing, like, the new song she was writing all a cappella, which was, like, it wasn't because she envisioned the song being a cappella. It was just because, like, that was the easiest way for her to, like, demonstrate what the chords were going to be was to, like, sing them in five-part harmony. And whereas, like, when I wrote a song, I would just, like, make a crappy demo of me, like, playing piano and singing it. It's kind of funny.
Because it's me and you and we all trying to find the truth. Tell me what is it to do. Tell me, baby. Tell me, baby. Me and you, and we all trying to find the truth. tell me, what is there to do? Tell me, baby,
I think that the hardest part of writing with someone else in general is that you just might not trust their musical instincts that much. I think that if you find someone who you like writing with, as I do with Gracie, there's nothing bad about it. There are hard parts about it, which is like I could come up with a section and feel like it feels right, and then she could just be like, I don't think that's right. And then you're not done and you thought you were done. But I mean, that's ultimately a good thing. That's a hard part of it, but that ultimately makes it better. I think I can't think of any immediate drawbacks to writing together like that are both harder and actually like a negative.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about it. I guess it is like having someone kind of check you at every point in your like songwriting, at every stage of the song. So it maybe takes longer to write a song, but that just means that you're actually investing in it more. I think like we have a lot of the same musical influences and we come from basically the exact same background in terms of what we listen to. So there's nothing that Clyde is going to play that I'm going to be, I feel like there, it's a rare thing that we play something and we really don't like what the other person is doing.
It's more like we'll get it, but be like, that might not be right, though. It's like, yeah. We always know what we're trying to do. It's like, oh, I see what you're doing there. I think, like, one interesting thing is I've found that since, because, you know, I had, like, I was writing songs as, like, the main thing that I like to be doing for, like, you know, 10 or 15 years before Gracie and I really started writing together. And like one really interesting thing that I've found since Gracie and I started, you know, being each other's right-hand man more in the songwriting process is I've started to just care less what other people outside of me and Gracie think about the songwriting. Like I used to, when I finished a song, you know, I would feel good about it, but I wouldn't really like feel confident in it until, you know, I played it for like my whole family and a couple friends. And, you know, if there was someone I was dating, you know, play it for that person and like all that kind of stuff before I could like really feel settled and confident in it. And now like it's sort of like if I like it and if Gracie likes it and we're both behind it, it's like it's done. I feel less need for other people's approval.
Good answer.
Now you're singing.
We definitely have an unusual sibling dynamic in that I think that the things that make us similar bring us closer. And I think that that's often not the case. I feel like a lot of siblings, when they have very similar interests in a lot of ways, it can kind of tear them apart. But I think that that hasn't been the case with us.
Yeah.
I'm of the feeling, and this is I guess I'll jump straight to my more divisive, controversial opinions of what a song needs to have to be good. But I've had a lot of arguments with people where I'm of the opinion that for a song to be really, really good, you need to be immediately grabbed by it the first time that you hear it. One of my biggest pet peeves is when a song comes on and someone's not that drawn to it, and then people are like, yeah, but this is the kind of song where like it grows with you, it gets better each time. You know, I get that you don't like it the first time, but you have to listen a bunch of times and really internalize it. And I think like that's great. There's a lot of songs that do get better with time, and that as you hear them more, you internalize them more. But I think that like saying that as an excuse for it not grabbing you the first time is a total cop out. I think that for like a song to be good, you need to be immediately drawn to it. For any number of reasons, and then it can totally grow with you with time, and it should. But that's a point about, you know, what makes a song good that I've actually had like a lot of arguments with people over. But that just comes from me having grown up as like a fan and a student of.
And that doesn't mean like knowing all of the lyrics to the song right
after you hear
it or remembering the melody exactly. It's just kind of something about it like trigger something within you.
You're like, oh damn, that was good. I want to listen. I want to continue to listen to that. Or like, I get that. Like that speaks to me immediately.
Yeah, I think that like just based on our influences, we grew up listening to a lot of pop from older generations, and you know, a lot of Motown stuff, a lot of Beatles, a lot of music that had a very specific structure. And it's not that I'm necessarily someone who's like looking at other artists from our generation and saying if they don't stick to that structure, then I'm not interested in them. It's just that I think that what that kind of sort of tighter songwriting structure led to was hookier melodies and, you know, chord changes that maybe drew you in because they were in a very specific place, or they kind of just attracted the listener in some way because they were catchy. And I think that, you know, now I'm interested in songs that still have that in some way. I think that, like, there's different ways that that occurs now, whether it be, you know, in something that's more that just feels like a groove, but there's still a part of it that has a catchy melody somehow. That's fine with me, but I think, like, in general, there has to be something that grabs you initially, and, yeah, so in that way, I definitely agree with Clyde.
I was recently reading an article in, I forget what magazine, it was either Rolling Stone or maybe it was the New York Times magazine, actually. It was talking about, like, music, and it referred to I Want You Back as, like, the surest way to get a smile out of somebody in less than 10 seconds. And, like, I totally...
So true.
I Want You Back is, like, that is one of our biggest inspirations. You know, I think that that song speaks perfectly to how a song can achieve what we're talking about, grabbing you immediately, being something that brings you in and has a hook, but doesn't in any way take away from the substance of the song. It's not taking a cheap shot. To keep in tone with what we're talking about, I definitely think the two things that have been sort of said to me that I'm always thinking about are Adam Schlesinger. I remember writing a song and bringing it in. He was like, that's a good song, but where's the hook? Like, where's the part that, like, you have all of the pieces in place except for the thing that's going to make you go home and, like, remember the crap out of it. And so I'm, like, always checking myself for if that exists. And then the second one being what, like, our father's always talking about, both in his own work and in the music he loves, which is, like, are we telling a story? Are we, you know, are you telling some kind of story that people are going to care about? Like, not necessarily lyrically, but just in the flow of the whole thing that you're creating.
I think Clyde took the most important things, but I also think, like, pace of a song, like how yeah. fast you're getting to each element of it, like the things that we were just talking about, like where's the hook, where's, you know, where's the beginning, middle, and end of the story. Like, just like if you're reading something or you're writing something that's, you know, totally. A book or something, you want to be getting to those elements at the right emotional moments. So, you know, people always say, you know, get to the chorus faster or whatever, but I think there are moments where you want to delay for maybe, you know, we basically, for the song Oh No, we were going back and forth trying to decide whether after the first verse that it should go straight into a chorus, and we ended up not doing that because it didn't feel ready. Like, you got to the end of the first verse and you were just like,
develop a little bit more.
You wanted to get like the you know, the slope up to the chorus to be a little bit, you wanted to keep going on that ride before you arrived there. So I think, like, just feeling out those emotional moments and kind of listening back and trying with fresh ears to just, like, trigger what in your gut feels right,
I think that that's been a really, that was a really interesting thing to learn from making this album, kind of figuring out, like, getting used to making decisions off of what emotionally feels right in those moments. And that's a hard thing to do because after listening to it a gazillion times. So kind of trying to attack things with, like, a fresher perspective. And I think all of that is, like, really important to songwriting. You know, like, you're basically dictating how someone else is going to feel. So you want to try to be making the appropriate decisions.
Thanks so much to Clyde and Gracie Lawrence for coming on to Scratch Take. Visit scratchtake.com for links to live performances of songs off of Lawrence's debut album, Breakfast. You'll also find a complete playlist of all of the songs featured in today's episode. And finally, if you like the show, make sure to subscribe on iTunes for more deep dives into the minds of songwriters.